B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. Sorry for the late start. Little late wipe down situation there. Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good, you? Good.
Just peachy. Thank you so much. A Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And Felger Maz means it's agenda free. And it's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give opening takes while you load up the phones, and then we go to you. It's that simple. It's agenda free because you set the agenda with your takes. So, Stu, you may release the hounds, please, at 617-779-0985. In the meantime, who wants to go first?
I'll go. Last night did it for me in the Celtics. Plus, I have to compliment Maz with this because I went from feeling like a sucker from calling this team the third best team in the NBA a couple of weeks ago to getting hit across the face with the big wet sausage of reality last night with that loss to Milwaukee. And the reality is this: Maz was right. Maz was right all along. We have severely overrated this Celtics team and their ceiling, because over this last few weeks, it's becoming more and more apparent that even though they're more likable, and they are, strictly from a basketball standpoint, they're turning into that team that they were last year. It's a collection of individuals, a lot of ISO offense, four other guys standing around watching, ball's not moving, and especially with Tatum, who just continues to piss me off. It's one pass, and then it's, you know, the Kobe-fication takes over. So that's just infuriating. Gordon Hayward, again, looks mentally broken since yet another injury. Last night, completely useless. 32 minutes, just over 32 minutes he plays. Did you see the stat line if you didn't watch the game?
He had one field goal, I think, right?
1 of 10 shooting, 1 of 9 from 3, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And if you didn't watch it, it's actually uglier than it sounds, because his game now, or at least last night, is hiding in corners, chucking threes. He's Kevin Love with better hair. That's what he's become in this offense. And a lot of that is on Wonder Boy, the coach. Because, I don't know, at times when it's really worked with Hayward, you use him in the half-court offense. You get him the ball. You let him be a playmaker. But no, he's been regulated to token spot-up shooter. I hate it. The bench stinks, and it stunk again last night. They're too small. Lackluster starts. Had another one last night. Infuriating to watch. So don't fool yourself. That's more indicative, I think, of who they are, at least against some of the iron in the NBA. That's not a five-point loss last night. It's not. They had some fight. That's fake. They got blown the F out last night. It's not a five-point loss. They essentially lost by like 20 points to me. The reality is that they're closer to Eastern Conference middler than they are even like, you know, oh, they'll give Milwaukee a tough series. They won't. And it's a tough pill to swallow, because I actually thought that they were better than they were, and it's looking otherwise.
Okay, Maz, your opening take?
So it's been a brutal week for Major League Baseball, and I will tell you that I have less faith than ever in baseball's ability to fix its own problems. Less faith than ever. I have zero faith in anybody involved in baseball who is in any position of leadership, from the commissioner all the way through the manager's office to the good players, any of them. I have zero confidence that they can fix it. Zero. Zip. In fact, and I wrote this for our website this morning, dear baseball, you suck. You suck.
Was that an open letter?
You suck, pretty much. But this
signed, yours truly, XOXO, Maz.
Maz. So there you go. So this relates directly to something Jessica Mendoza has said in the last, call it 24 hours, on Golic and Wingo, the ESPN show, a ESPN radio program. And apparently now it has cost her position on Sunday Night Baseball. That particular outcome is not necessarily something I was looking for. And I don't have any problem with Jess Mendoza as much as I did with her take on this particular issue. Okay, here's what Mendoza said. This is the exchange with Golic regarding Mike Fiers going public with The Athletic and exposing the Astros, which led to this whole scandal. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened. But it came from within. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
No, it isn't hard to swallow. This is where she misses the whole thing, and I can't believe she's taken this point of view. The Mike Fiers of the world need to be celebrated. They need to be honored in some way, for crying out loud. Mari, do you know who Jeffrey Wigands is?
Sure don't.
Okay. Jeffrey Wigands is the whistleblower who basically blew out the tobacco industry. Would we know everything that we know, but we suspected it, but would we know everything concretely the way we would if that guy didn't come out on 60 Minutes and identify that they basically were drugging the process and getting people hooked on nicotine? The guy's a hero. He's not a rat. He's not a scoundrel. He's a hero. And Mike Fiers, as much, I'm sorry to people like Jess Mendoza that he quote unquote broke the code. But you know what? Baseball can take its code and shove it. Because the code is the problem. The code is the problem between the commissioner and the owners, between the owners and the GMs and the managers, and the managers and the players. I'd say expose the crap out of them. Because the game's never going to get fixed if they all honor their stupid-ass code. I mean, I'm sorry to see that they took her off of Sunday Night Baseball.
Oh, I hate that.
I think she has a conflict of interest to begin with. Because I don't know how you can work for a team and call national games. Like, that doesn't feel right.
So I didn't even realize that. I didn't realize she has a job with the Mets, and so that's problematic. I never minded her. She doesn't bug me. It doesn't. I don't watch Sunday Night Baseball because who watches Sunday Night Baseball? But it has nothing to do with her. I have no problem with her. I'm fine with her commentary. I think she adds the same as anyone, no more, no less. I like Jess Mendoza. I despise the fact that take would cost her job. Just the whole culture of a take costing you a job, especially if no one's getting hurt. It's just an opinion.
Dumbest time to be alive.
Oh, the worst. The worst.
So, I didn't like what you said. You got to lose your job.
Oh, my God. Bunch of absolute. It is.
There is an appropriate word for it.
It makes me sick to my stomach. Let's take away someone's livelihood because you don't like their take. Just the worst. Now, if there's a conflict of interest, should she be doing national broadcast and work for a team? Fine. And was she on the outs already because she's not popular or viewers don't like her? Fine. You know, I never minded her, but for, you know, unless you're advocating hate or someone getting hurt or something like this. Obviously, we all know there's a line somewhere, but just because you don't like the take, that's the worst. Here's my opening take. Actually, I'll let Frank do it. Frank, go ahead on the Bruins last night. Quick.
Yeah, the Bruins are a fraud. We all know what happened when Mark Savard got hit and nobody did anything. The season went downhill after that. It's exactly what's going to happen because they didn't do anything when Rask got hit. So their little song and dance of responding last night, being fake tough guys on every little hit, it's a fraud way to look at it. When we as the fans have to tell you, the team, that other players around the league are targeting you guys and treating you like little kids on the ice, there's a problem with that, Mike. A big problem.
Okay, babe. Love you, Frank. I disagree with you. I actually kind of believe in the Bruins. And it's not just based on last night. But I've sort of had this feeling since they got off to that start that I think they're going to be there in the end. I'm actually buying on the Bruins. And I did after that first month. I thought going into the year we were going to have a lost year, like take a step back, Stanley Cup hangover kind of year. And they responded with the start that they did. And I think that more often than not, which does not mean every time, but more often than not, they have answered the bell this year. And I didn't think that they would. And I think they're going to be there in the end. And I don't think last night was fake. I was listening to Bill Jaffe on the midday earlier, and he said it was an organic, appropriate response, which I would agree. It wasn't over the top. Nothing was their response, or quote-unquote response, was not fake. It wasn't contrived. It was kind of organic. They checked. They took checks. The Krug fight with Hornquist. They came out of the box. A little bit of showmanship there, but they were going at it before they went into the box. I thought it was, you know, this wasn't just, to use the analogy to 2010 with that team, this wasn't just Sean Thornton stepping over the boards and taking one fight. This was the whole team. The whole team kind of responded. The goalie responded, who's been, Halak's been had a rough stretcher the last couple of weeks. Then he lets in that first goal. You're like, oh, God. And then he was great the rest of the night. I think more often than not, for the most part, this team has responded all year, and they're going to be there in the end. And I think they're going to understand what they need to do, how they need to do it. And I saw it again last night. It doesn't prove last night. It's just another little example of it. In relation to the Celtics, which continue to show me nothing. They continue to show me nothing, Murray. Just picking off of yesterday, who pisses you off more? I saw it again from the Celtics.
You could tell in that first quarter, like, oh, Jesus. They got no shot tonight either.
There's nothing there. And so, yes, they came back from 27 down, closed it to 6, and then 4. That game was glorified garbage time.
No, totally.
That game was 2.5 quarters of garbage time. When the Bucks got the 20-something point lead in the second quarter, the rest of it was just, it was really just playing out the string. And the Celtics have shown me nothing. Nothing. And so I'm almost out on them, too. I've been teetering here for the last couple weeks, but at some point, they have to show me something. The Bruins have shown me something this year, and I think they're going to be there in the end. I think they're going to make it real interesting. Tampa's better, and Tampa might beat them. So that's not to say, let me predict that when we get there. But this ain't going to be a lost year. They're not frauds, Frank. They're a good team. They get it, and they're going to be. They're going to make it interesting. That's what I think on the Bruins.
I mean, I give them credit for that win last night, again, especially with the way it started. I didn't love that goal at all that Halak gave up. And then, you know, Krug goes after Hornquist, and, you know, I don't know, you got to admire Krug in that situation. Going after a bigger guy, not that Hornquist is any sort of giant, but he's bigger and stronger and tougher. And Krug wasn't afraid of him. I give the Bruins credit last night.
Yeah, the whole team. I think the whole team just sort of responded, but it wasn't fake. And it wasn't like that thing against the Penguins in 2010, Frank. That was just Thornton jumping over the boards and fighting Cook. There was nothing else. Agenda Free Friday. We're rolling. Here's Ben in Chelmsford on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, guys. Great show. I was just wondering what your thoughts are about the value of Mookie Betts as a trade piece and the Red Sox and their negotiations with him, you know, given the year that he had his breakout year was when they were potentially stealing signs.
Okay, good question. Do you think that he has less of a market across the league because presumably he got his numbers cheating?
No. I think that baseball owners will pay superstars. So will there be some skepticism about Betts, maybe for other reasons? Yeah, sure. Again, I have my doubts about him because of the opposite field power and the size. But he's going to get a huge contract. Huge. And so anyone that thinks that all of a sudden now the price is going to drop through the floor and the Red Sox are going to get a bargain, no way.
We are off and running on Agenda Free Friday. Back to your phones after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart, struggling getting it in. Throws a bounce pass. Tatum has it. Tatum runs to the corner, launches a three, rims out, and that's the ballgame. And a crazy night for the Celtics. So close to getting knocked out by this historically good Bucks team, but they fight to the finish. down 27 in the second, down 22 late in the third. They had a chance to make it a one-point game in the final seconds. The Bucks win again. They have won 31 of 34. They are now 37-6. And the Celtics dropped their second game in as many nights. The final score, Milwaukee 128, Boston 123.
I'm with Murray. Fake comeback. There's no there with the Celtics.
Most fraudulent five-point game ever.
Thank you.
Not even close.
There's no, you know, identity is the cliche word, but there's no, there's
no. It's identity. There is no offensively. There's no identity to this team.
There's and they don't have any sort of real push against these good teams, or any sort of killer instinct, or I don't know. I just. Ah, yeah, you know, I, you know, I was in on him going into the year, and then, as you said, they started 10-1, and so, and then Gordon Hayward got off to a great start, and I said, okay, well, here we are. This is where I thought they were going to be. And, but even then, were they just cleaning up on bad teams?
Yes. Yeah. Go look at the schedule again. They beat Milwaukee in that stretch, but they played a lot of dog food.
So they're just cleaning up on bad teams, taking care of business, which, you know, you have to do. You want to get a good seed.
But I do think that Hayward was reformed. He was back to Utah Gordon Hayward, and then he broke his wrist or had that hand injury against San Antonio, and it broke his brain again.
The guy's freaking useless. You don't know if he's on the floor or not. You can't tell if the guy's on the floor. He had one field goal last night, and it was really just a throwaway. It was
at the buzzer.
It was at the third quarter buzzer. He had missed another three-pointer from the three-point elbow, if you will, a few seconds before, and so that made him, like, I don't know, whatever, 0-for-8, and the ball is a loose ball, and it kicks back to him right at the buzzer, and so he chucks it back up, and it goes in. That was his one field goal. That was it. I mean, good Lord. I mean, when are they going to show you something in one of these games that means a little something? I'm running out of patience. I'm not giving up on my take. I'm not going to sign any paperwork, Murray.
No, I'm not signing any kind of declaration of doneness for the Celtics either. I just think I fell into where you were. I think I've overrated this team.
I just thought they'd be better. Now, they're still right there. They're a game out of second, which means you have home court till you get to the East Finals. You should be able to win home court series in the Eastern Conference, and now you're in the East Finals with the Bucks, who I still think are flawed, and you saw it last night. Scal in the postgame called them feast or famine. It's what they are. For all their size and all the things they can do, they are kind of a chuck and duck team. If the three goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And they can't rely on going to the rim and getting to the line. I mean, they can. Giannis will shoot a million free throws. He'll make half of them. And so I still think they're sort of susceptible. I think they're flawed. I think they're vulnerable. I thought they'd be vulnerable to you. So there's your Celtics follow-up. We continue with your thoughts. Ron in the car, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing? I was just kind of chiming in regards to the whole Astros fiasco. One of you guys made the statement of saying that this guy should be celebrated, the pitcher. And it's disgusting to even think that way. Very quickly, why would you celebrate anybody who took the money from the Astros, sat on the team and allowed them to cheat, knew they were doing it, and didn't open his mouth until after he was shipped off?
So that's fair.
I mean, he'd be banned like anybody else. He was...
Oh, I'm sorry, Ron.
So that's fair. He benefited from it, and then he ratted him out. So you want to tell me he ratted too late, too? That's fine. But baseball's culture is such that you go to another team, you still don't rat him out. And this guy did. So he put his name to it. And we wouldn't know any of this if it weren't for Mike Fiers. Do you really have the confidence that if the commissioner found out, he would have penalized the Astros the way he did if this weren't public?
I think we know now for a fact that he wouldn't have. He would have kept it private like he was trying to do with the Red Sox.
Absolutely, he would have. We wouldn't know about any of this. And the fact that we do is a good thing, because the game's got serious leadership problems all the way across. The owners, the GMs, the managers, the commissioner, all of them. None of them want to be held accountable for anything. They can't even agree to throw the ball inside of 30 seconds. And you want him to agree on not stealing signs? It's a joke. The game's a joke.
Ron in Medford on Jess Mendoza. Go ahead, Ron. Hello, Ron. Okay, babe. Tariq in Boston wants to weigh in on Jess Mendoza. Hi, Tariq.
Well, you know, kind of stole my thunder last caller, so I think I'm going to switch gears. I mean, I've been saying this for a while about the Celtics. Young teams don't win. They don't. When you're alphas, when the guys that you're relying on night in and night out are under 27 years old, You don't win. And I know Kemba's great and all, but I'm talking about a physically opposing player where, you know, you got a game plan, double team and all. You know, we don't have that. We do have it, but we're 5 years away from really seeing the fruits of it, because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, or a combination of the two, are going to have growing pains until this point. I haven't seen them play well with the exception of that small stint when Brown was out. When Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum are like seriously off, this team falters. You know, there's a couple of times where they picked it up when they were off.
But Tariq,
if you're relying
Tariq,
on...
I'm just going to cut you off. That first point, I agree with 100%. About, is it the youth? I hope it's the youth. You hope it's the youth. I'm beginning to wonder just about the DNA of Tatum and Brown. Those guys are a little too cool for school, man. You want to listen to something that makes me a little sick is Jaylen Brown after some of these losses. Like, I can't even describe it properly, but like it doesn't.
Does he seem like he's bothered by them?
Unbothered, defensive. It's all right. It's a long season. Like, I don't know. I don't think those two get it.
Too much success too early.
I don't think those two get it. I'm worried about the DNA. I'm worried about the DNA of Tatum, Brown, and Gordon Hayward. The first two, the kids, because they think they are too cool for school, like they've arrived or something. Okay? Hayward, I don't know if he has the grind, if he can grind it out. Grind out injuries, grind out coming back from injuries, grind out playing well when he's not feeling 100% like one of those guys. Everything's got to be perfect. He's got to feel perfect. He's got to be 100%. And if he's in rhythm at 100%, then fine. It looks good. But if he's got to grind it out, he ain't a grinder.
I mean, his game right now is really soft. It's really, really soft. And so, I don't know if it's related to the injury or not. I thought at the beginning of the year, he was playing his best basketball as a member of the Celtics. And he was more aggressive. He was more assertive. He was more confident. Now he's regressed right back to where he was before it. He's useless in these games.
So, I hate to compare it, but they're all high picks, and I just want to compare it. Giannis is imperfect, and he's got a ways to go. And I think Giannis is a little overrated. But that dude wants it, man. He cares. He cares. And he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he has something to prove. And the way last year went down for him has left a mark. And he's, you know, dedicated himself to do more to be better the next time around. I don't know if it will be good enough or not, but he's got edge, and he cares, and he wants to be great, and he wants to prove it to people, and he wants to take all the steps that it takes to get there. These kids, I don't know. I feel like they feel like they're already there. They get to skip all that other stuff.
Watch out for the Dookies.
Seriously.
Watch out for the Dookies. A lot of them get to the NBA and never reach their potential. Most of them don't.
I mean, do you get it? You got to grind it out. You got to dig in and grind it out. And I don't feel like those three, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, dig in and grind it out. I don't see it.
Yeah, they don't. Look, they don't have many guys like that. Again, Smart will do it. Walker competes, but,
sure.
but he's little. Again, Isaiah 2.0.
I didn't mention those guys.
So, you know, he competes, though. There's no issue there with the compete. I'll even tell you, like, Cantor competes when he's out there. Or Tice, like those guys.
Does Tatum grind?
No.
Good God.
Nope.
Here's Murray's update, and we're back with more whistleblowing in Major League Baseball. Listen to this cut we have coming back. Wow, this is good stuff. More people narking on each other right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's going to go after that. It's just the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
That's Jack McDowell. Black Jack McDowell, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Former reliever for the White Sox?
Starter.
He was a starter.
Yeah, he might have relieved late in his career, but he might have won a Cy Young, or he might have come close.
Yeah,
anyway,
he was.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Former White Sox pitcher Jack McDowell saying that at Old Comiskey Park, they had a camera and a Gatorade sign in center field.
Yep.
And that Tony La Russa put it there.
Yep. I believe it 100%.
Of course. I believe all this stuff.
Yeah, again, these guys are all dirtbags. I've lost so much faith, and it's not just the cheating thing. It's their inability to fix their own game and, you know, their stubbornness and putting their own selfish interests ahead of the greater good. I've never been less optimistic. I have less faith in the leadership. And I'm not just talking about the commissioner. I'm talking about all of them. Like, really, anyone who's in any position of authority in baseball, I think you're all a bunch of dirtbags. That's sort of where I am. And, you know, some of this stuff was going on. The one thing I disagree with on McDowell is, you know, when I was covering the team, and I'm not covering my own ass, no one ever told me there was a camera in the scoreboard and they were using it. I mean, you know, did I suspect that guys would steal signs from second base? Of course. But the idea that there was some sort of orchestrated system in place for them to swipe signs and relay them to the batter via
No one would ever tell
me that in a million years.
No. The thing that we all ignored was the steroids.
Absolutely.
I mean, they
didn't ask enough questions.
How clownishly big the guys got. It's like, what do you think was going on there? But I mean, that we all could see. The wearable devices and the trash. I mean, I guess you
hidden
could.
Cameras.
I mean, hidden cameras, right, exactly. Replay rooms and monitors and tunnels. Like, nah, the media didn't know any of that crap. I mean, of course not. Would you give me a break? People in baseball did.
Absolutely.
So that piece I believe in, you know, that everyone sort of knew. And, you know, what's amazing, I've mentioned this before. The example I always use is, what was the World Series? It was Tigers Cardinals 2011, when there was a little pine tar back and forth. Pine tar situation. One of the pitchers had pine tar, and I think it was Leland and La Russa.
Yeah, sounds right.
I think. And no one really called each other on it. And it's because, obviously, the St. Louis side wasn't going to narc on the Detroit side because they're loading the ball. And Detroit's not going to narc on St. Louis because you're loading the ball, I'm loading the ball. We're not going to say anything about either of us because all of our guys are loading up the baseball. And they're like, well, everybody's cheating. So what? I mean, what's the point of this?
I agree. So this is my point: is that nobody in any sort of position of authority would sit there and say, "Enough, we're not going to do this anymore." Enough, and call out someone else. And so when Jack McDowell says, "You know, I don't know why this is a big deal now," I can tell you why: because Mike Fiers put his name to it and put it out there. That's why it's a big deal now. Because someone actually came out, put their name to it, and said, "Enough." And somehow this guy's an a-hole. They're destroying the game.
Yeah, but
and it's not just this.
And I can understand
this. To me, it's much bigger than this.
But man,
they're ruining it. They're going to kill it. And you know what? At this point, I hope it dies.
So when you say they, what do you mean they?
I mean the commissioner, the owners, the GMs, between the analytics and the micromanagement of the game, and they've sucked the life and the joy right out of it. They've sucked it all out. They all want to cheat. Nobody wants to call anybody on it. All they want to do is make their truckload of money. And in the process, they've ruined the product. They've ruined it.
And it's been bad, but I do see a silver lining here based just on Twitter and players going back and forth, threatening to fight each other. You have pitchers at mentioning Major League Baseball, warning them to either do something or players are going to start getting drilled. I see this. I see the positive. I see hate. I see hate and anger. And that will actually get me to tune in. If these guys, because it's gotten way too chummy. That's one of the things I've hated about baseball in like the last decade. Everyone has the same agent. Everyone's all the friends. Everything's fine. No, I want some real hate and anger back in baseball. And based, again, on the bitchiness going back and forth between guys like Trevor Bauer and Mike Clevenger and Lance McCullers, you might get it.
Murray, none of them hold each other accountable anymore. The managers don't hold the players accountable. The GMs don't hold the managers accountable. The owners don't hold their executive. Nobody, and the commissioner doesn't hold anybody accountable either. There's no accountability. None. Kill it. Kill it. And listen, the baseball reporters will be on in March.
So what do you mean kill it?
I hope they kill the sport. I hope they do themselves in. I am now rooting for them to F themselves over. I am rooting for them to self-destruct because they're all a bunch of arrogant a-holes. scumbag, dirtbag a-holes is what they are. They want to cheat and they don't want to be called on it. They want to make their money and they don't want to play hard. You know, they want to sit there on the mound and not throw the... They couldn't give two craps about the consumer or the spectator. They could, for the people who ultimately line their pockets, they could not give two craps. So you know what? I hope you kill your effing sport. I hope you kill it. And then let's just put it out of its misery and you can go crawl under some rock somewhere and I'll never have to see you again. Go to hell.
Well, it's amazing that they have this attitude and their games become unwatchable. I mean, it's tanked in popularity, but the sport still makes money. So like that's the paradox there.
Well, that's the problem.
And that's why they haven't changed their ways, because the money still comes in. The revenues are still great. But in terms of the give a crap meter, people don't care about the sport anymore, but they still carry on like, I don't know, like they do.
I mean, the commissioner wants to speed up the game. And then you got guys like David Price giving him the finger. I'm not changing. No, I mean, why would you want to fix something that's broken? I mean, why would you want to do that? For the benefit of everyone involved, why would you want to do that? I mean, talk about pulling your pants down and farting in the face of the public. Like, I just really, this whole thing is sort of the final straw. But to me, it's really as much about the game on the field. They have shown no inclination to fix any of their problems, any of them. Meanwhile, look at all the other sports. They all try to enhance the product, make it move faster, shorten commercial breaks, speed up pace of play. Hockey now is played faster than ever before. And that game was fast to begin with. Baseball, they go the other way. No, 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 we're not changing. Fine, don't change. I hope you die. I'm not kidding. I've had it. I'm done. I just think I have so little faith in the leadership of the people in the game that who have no character and are just willing to go along with it and cash the checks. You all suck. All of you. You all suck.
You put that shirt up on 98.5sportshub.com. Even I'm buying one.
What's the shirt?
Your sport sucks. I hope you die. Maz.
I'm telling you. I've reached that point. It's like enough. Seriously, I have no faith in any of you. You don't want to fix it. All you want to do is cash the checks. You don't want to be held accountable. You got guys in the freaking runway or, you know, in Houston pounding on a trash can, and the commissioner never would have told us about it. None of them would have ever told us about it if it weren't for the Athletic. I mean, really. You want to? I'll go watch pro wrestling. Seriously. I'll save myself a few
let's
bucks.
Go, Maz.
The pro wrestling reporters.
Well, seriously,
weeknight 6 to 7. Yeah,
Jimmy, you want to switch spots? You come sit out here. I'll come behind the glass, and we'll do wrestling reporters every Monday through Friday.
Boom in.
Seriously, I'm done. I'm done with the playing games with the baseball people. You all suck.
Long commercial free. On that note, long commercial free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports.
Yeah, it's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Both guys standing up in the box, ready to come back onto the ice, and they are free. So each team back at
the They're going to go right now.
It's going to be Krug with Hornquist at the high slot in the Bruins zone. Each man fighting right-handed. They tie up. Neither can get a hand free. Hornquist with a couple of rights that miss. Kruger right. Krug another right, Kruger right, Hornquist to right that missed, and then Krug came over the top and belted him.
So I felt this way before last night. Well, maybe last night just sort of crystallized it. I'm in on the Bruins. I like them. I think they get it. I think they generally get it. I think they're flawed. I don't think they're perfect. I don't think they have the best roster even in the East. I think Washington's better than them. I think Tampa's better than them.
Too young?
No, not too young. I just think those teams are more talented, front to back. And they lack size, and they need to get tougher. So, like, all these flaws, and we'll pick apart all these flaws. And I'm happy to do it all year. Happy to do it all the way through the end of the playoffs, however far they go. But I think, generally speaking, they have a heartbeat. I think since Bruce Cassidy took over from Claude, they've been on this same sort of arc. And it's a team that I think they're good. I think they get it. I think this year it feels to me like they're motivated by the Stanley Cup loss. I haven't felt the Stanley Cup hangover, which isn't to say they haven't had their ups and downs and their flaws, and it was a bad look the other night not standing up for Rask. Got it. But I'm just saying, in general, more often than not, this team has answered the bell. It has. And I think they're going to go on a run this offseason or this postseason. Now, again, they run into Tampa, and they can play their little tails off and lose because Tampa's better. Or they could go up against Washington and play their little tails off and not be good enough to beat the Capitals. So that's not – this is no guarantee. But once again, last night, I saw something from them. I saw it. I see it. I feel it. I got it. There's something there. As opposed to that basketball team where there is no there. So that's just that's my opening take here on Agenda Free Friday.
I mean, I believe in the Bruins' makeup, and I believe in their leadership. They got good leadership. Chara, Bergeron, those are good competitive guys. What I worry about is their size. I don't think they're stout enough.
You know, but, I mean, even Krug, I mean, a good example. He's just not big enough, and he's got flaws in his game defensively and whatnot. But that's a bad little dude.
Yeah, he's a tough little SOB.
Like, he cares.
Absolutely.
He cares. He gets it. He's a little beast, that guy. And because of his size or his defensive limitations, he'll never be everything that you want him to be. But I don't know. I'll take Torrey Krug on my team. And I've been critical of him over the years. But, I mean, that's just another guy. I mean, I'll take him. And, you know, last night he's not one of the veteran guys on the team. And he sort of filled that role last night. So overall, I feel okay about the Bruins, which I don't always feel that way about them. They usually piss me off more than not. But what can I tell you? As opposed to that other team. Meanwhile, Maz in Major League Baseball, that's a whole other kettle of fish. Bill in the car, your thoughts on what Maz had to say.
I agree with Maz. I respect his opinions and everything. You know, he has all this disrespect for everybody about the business. They're in business to win ball games, and John Henry is laughing all the way to the bank. If you're that upset with everybody trying to get the edge, like, why do we go scout high school basketball games? Why do we scout football games to get an edge?
Well, Bill, you're saying that's the same thing?
Yeah, Bill, there's a huge difference. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, yes, you're right. There is a difference. I'm not arguing that, Felger. But they're looking for the competitive edge.
Okay, so let's wear a buzzer on the shoulder in the World Series or American League Championship game. That's the same thing as scouting high schools?
No, please. It's not even close. I mean, again, there are certain things that are part of the standard procedure, and you go watch a player, you send two guys out to watch him, one guy sees talent, one guy doesn't. Let's see who was right. To me, that's part of the competition. That's all that is. But if in the actual games, you know what the opposition's going to do before they do it because you're stealing their information, what's the point of playing? What's the purpose?
And then when it gets out of control, everyone tries to cover it up?
I mean, like, seriously, what are we doing? Like, he says, you know, the objective of the business is to win games. Feels to me like all they care about is the money. They don't care about winning the games either. I mean, they do, I guess, maybe to a fault. So I don't know if I should even say that. I don't think they have any integrity. None of them. They have no integrity. Zero. Why should I invest in that anymore? I don't believe in the character of any of the people involved. I don't.
Phil and Malden on the Celtics. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I just want to... Happy New Year. I haven't called you since last year. Murray, I agree with you. The Celtics are killing me on these. One night they're up, the next night they're down, this and that. I don't see them better than maybe one round, if two.
Okay, so once again, last night, Murray. TNT, national game. One of the few that matter.
Coming off a bad loss against a terrible team at home.
Easy night to respond, okay? And you gave up
76 points in the first half.
You also don't have to worry about the logjam.
76?
Yep.
You don't have to worry about the logjam at wing because Jaylen Brown's out. So you would think, because it's happened in the past, that it's going to free up someone like Gordon Hayward, who is
instead
putrid.
Disappears. Disappears. You didn't notice he's on the floor.
No, you don't. You really don't.
When is that team going to have a night and just show themselves, you, us, anyone, the opponent, what they are and what they're capable of, and where's their edge? Where's the edge on that team?
They don't have it. I mean, they don't have it. Now, again, look, the young guys can grow into it. It's still early. It's only Tatum's third year in the league, right? So who the hell knows? But do I like what I see in Tatum now in terms of the way he acts like he's been in the league 10 years. So hopefully somewhere along the line, they're dealt some serious humility that they can't blame on someone else.
Those freaking guys think they've arrived. Gordon Hayward's different. I think he's not a grinder. The other two aren't grinders, but they're not grinders because, and maybe they were ruined because they had so much success early and they went to game 7 of that East final. But they think they're now in a place where they can do what LeBron did, which is take the regular season off and just pour it on in the playoffs because I'm LeBron, which he could do. But now Jaylen Brown thinks he's that and Tatum thinks he's that. That's what I think their problem is.
Yes, it's a big part of it.
You got to be kidding me.
Absolutely. It's a big part of it.
Jeez. That team should be better. Matt in Braintree. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Tony, stop being a tough guy about baseball. Nobody cares about baseball, but the cheating people should be caring about is Vrabel cheating that game because he clearly still had the playbooks from 2004.
Okay, Matt, good call. Good call on
what,
that.
What, the
one.
Pats losing the wild card game?
You
baby.
I'm not even going to give him the time of day on that one. Stuart in Brookline. Go ahead, Stuart.
I bet he did.
That's supposed to be a tough call to talk, but these Astros guys,
okay, that's not exactly the best phone connection I've heard there. Joe and Lee, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, first-time caller, love the show. Murray hit the nail on the head with the Celtics there. I just wanted to know your thoughts about would you trade Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and the first, the top 10 unprotected picks to Minnesota for Karl-Anthony Towns?
I don't think Minnesota would do that.
I don't either.
Why would Minnesota do that?
Yeah, I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be available anytime
soon.
Is he talking
about the Memphis pick too? That thing's losing value by the day. They better try to trade that thing.
Is Memphis in the playoffs right now?
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the pick's in the middle of the pack.
The pick would be number 16 today.
Okay.
Worthless. What's going to be a bad draft.
Worthless.
By the way, on Towns, it looks like the Timberwolves might be looking to try to get D'Angelo Russell from the Warriors, so because they just traded Jeff Teague, their point guard, to Atlanta, who wasn't getting along with Towns. So Towns is going to be off the market. He's going to be this white whale that Danny Ainge is chasing, much like Anthony Davis, that isn't going to even get there because the Wolves are going to get Russell and Towns, who were supposed to be paired together in the offseason, but it didn't happen.
I do wonder if the team needs a shakeup, though.
Oh, they 100% do.
Something to get their attention. You know, I don't know what that is. If you trade one of those guys, I mean, I'm not trading away a future piece who's valuable to you just to get your attention like that. But I don't know. Something's got to happen there. Something's got to happen because they've hit this flat line now for over a month where they're just not responding to any of these spots.
And if Hayward keeps playing like this, he could opt in. He could stay.
Remember Trader Danny? Psh, psh, psh. What happened to that? What happened to that guy? He's gun shy.
Okay, it's Agenda Free Friday.
He just wants to facilitate trades.
All these things, I hate those facilitators. All these things are on the board. Speaking of non-facilitation, my buddy Gary Tangway yesterday on NBC Sports Boston, you want to talk about... He came into the old Take Saloon.
Yeah, what was that book, Fahrenheit 320 or whatever the hell the name was?
Go big or go home.
Exactly, exactly. He pulled out the Take Howitzer yesterday and was firing. So
you don't talk in a three box.
Coming up next, after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials. Hot Takes with Gary Tang.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.